Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. It's week three of our look at alternative assets to consider investing in with the uncertainty ahead. Today, a golden opportunity that perhaps has a silver lining. We're talking about the safety and hedging strategies real estate investors can employ with precious metals. And we've got a great guest today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
With everything going on in the world, don't let your lack of financial understanding derail your investments. Real estate investors need to see the bigger economic picture. The Federal Reserve, bonds and interest rates, precious metals, oil and gas, cryptocurrency, and the inner workings of monetary policy. Just to start, if you're at all confused about how and why market metrics intersect and what it means to you as a real estate investor, take your understanding to a new level with the Future of Money and Wealth video collection. Discover the opportunity to hedge against inflation, deflation, and stagflation. Gain critical insights on real estate niches that perform well in challenging times, and learn specific strategies to fortify your balance sheet before it's too late. Simply send an email to future@realestateguysradio.com for all the details. The Future of Money and Wealth includes 20 videos of powerful presentations and panel discussions featuring Robert Kiyosaki, Peter Schiff, G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Doug Duncan, Simon Black, CPA Tom Wheelwright, Brian London, Dr. Chris Martinson, and many more. Email future@realestateguysradio.com today.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, it's our co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, we love talking to real estate, but we also look at the broader economic picture and something we call real assets. People today especially are interested in the difference between, say, paper assets and derivatives and real assets, things you can hold and touch. And today we're going to talk about one of those assets, and it's one that we've had our head around for quite some time, and that is precious metal.
Yeah, I think that for a lot of real estate investors, I think real estate investors are really geared transactionally. They look at life, they look at investing in terms of transactions. And traditional investing really is about building a portfolio, and a portfolio consists of different components. And when you apply portfolio theory to your real estate investing and you look for things that are outside of the paper world, most Main Street investors, Main Street real estate investors, aren't necessarily fans of Wall Street. I think that's why they gravitate to things like real estate. And the question is, can I create some of the financial strategies and the financial outcomes that paper asset investors enjoy using real assets? And so you kind of talk about what are real assets. Real assets are things that are physical, they're tangible, they're things that don't really rely upon a counterparty risk. So if you own a piece of real estate, that's a physical property. And, you know, give the Empire State Building, for example. It was built in the Great Depression, coming into the Great Depression. The ownership that built it didn't have the financial wherewithal to actually finish it or maintain ownership, yet the building remained because the building is real. So ownership structures in real estate change, but the asset itself is permanent. So the challenge as a real estate investor in real estate investing is, how do you use financing structures and ownership structures that allow you to retain the asset? But at least you don't have to worry about, in most cases, the underlying asset from disappearing. And the same is true of currencies. Currencies go bad. I mean, we don't think that way in the United States of America, but other countries, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, they've had their currencies go bad. So, you know, these are just the things that you think about when you're trying to figure out, how do I approach portfolio building from a real asset perspective? And the thing we're going to talk about today is a very, very important part of that mix.
Well, Russ, you mentioned counterparty risk, and I think, no listener left behind, this is an important concept. Even real estate, a hard asset, a tangible asset, dirt, something that you can feel and touch and leave for generations, has counterparty risk, meaning there's another party involved that has some say in your investment. At the very least, if you own property outright, you have no mortgage. A mortgage would be counterparty risk. If you have no mortgage, you still are probably in a jurisdiction where you pay property tax. If you don't pay your property tax, then the municipality, the city, the county, the state can take your property. That's a counterparty risk. And in almost every business, there's counterparty risk.
Counterparty risk is really when your asset is somebody else's liability. So your mortgage is your liability. If you fail to make the payments, the person who's holding that mortgage is a loser. And that's why you guarantee or collateralize that obligation, that promissory note, with a deed of trust or a mortgage on your property. They're either going to get the payments or they're going to get the property. So that's some degree of security. If you go out and make a loan to somebody, an unsecured loan, then your debt to them is your liability. Your debt to them is their asset. But if you fail to pay, their asset isn't worth anything. And so there's a lot of counterparty risk in paper asset investing because the paper represents a promise to perform, a promise to deliver something. And if that counterparty, that person who is promising, fails to deliver, then your asset isn't worth anything. This was the fundamental weakness in what caused the 2008 crisis as counterparty risk just daisy chained through the financial system. And that's what happens when you have a lot of debt. Well, right now we have more debt than we've ever had. And people who are paying attention understand that the system is full of counterparty risk. And as that debt begins to go bad, potentially because of this economic shutdown, there's the possibility that the Federal Reserve is going to print so many dollars trying to paper over all the bad debt that they actually begin to damage the currency. And so the question as an investor is, how do I hedge against that? How do I protect myself against a currency losing value over time?
Well, and counterparty risk can be in multiple levels. You know, back in 2008, we saw the unwinding of all the derivatives. So you agreed to make a mortgage payment, and that was the original counterparty risk. And then a mortgage company took a bunch of those loans and then collateralized that debt further, and on it went to the big house of cards. At the same time, you can take something that seems like it doesn't have counterparty risk and give it counterparty risk. Let me give you an example. Imagine you have a vintage Babe Ruth baseball card signed by the Babe. That would be very valuable. And when you hold that baseball card in your hand, it's valuable and it has no counterparty risk until you decide to go to the bank and keep it in your safe deposit box. Well, all of a sudden, although you might not perceive it to be a big risk, there is now a counterparty, the bank, that has introduced a risk into your portfolio. Either the bank isn't secure, or they have a break-in, or a fire, or they go under, or whatever the case may be. When we talk about assets, it's almost impossible to think of too many that don't have any counterparty risk, but precious metals are one, depending on how you own precious metals.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you own a coupon to claim a precious metal, which is what dollars used to be, paper dollars used to be coupons that you could redeem for gold until 1933, and then they became coupons that you could redeem for silver up until somewhere in the 60s, the mid-60s, whereas, you know, the coins themselves were actually physical precious metals, gold and silver. Gold up until 33, silver up until 1964. Today, money is just a promise to pay. That's why it says Federal Reserve note. A note is a promise to pay, but it's not redeemable, and so the Fed never has to pay. Well, if you were able to create debt out of thin air and never need to pay, how much debt would you create?
A ton.
I mean, a lot, right? And they've created trillions, and they're creating trillions literally by the week right now in order to try to paper over this COVID-19 financial crisis that is emerging. They're trying to stay in front of it. And of course, the big concern that I think any astute investor, as I mentioned before, should be paying attention to is, what is the impact going to be on the dollar? Can the dollar withstand that? It's called inflation. When you print a lot of currency, it is being divided by all of the production, the goods and services in the economy. And just like any form of supply and demand, when you have a lot of demand, meaning a lot of capacity to pay, a lot of dollars printed floating around the system, and you have very few goods and services because people aren't going to work. I mean, right now they're talking about how there's going to be a meat shortage because of the inability to distribute product from production to consumption. And so they're literally slaughtering and throwing away perfectly good food because they don't have the ability to process it and transport it to where it needs to be done. So supply chains are breaking down, and that affects the amount of goods and services. When you combine lots of printed money with very few goods and services, the inevitable result, like we saw in Venezuela, is rising prices. And so the question is, you know, there's a lot of problems to solve, and something like precious metals, something like real estate, insulates you from some of those problems, not all of them. And obviously, as investors, we have to analyze what's going on, and then we have to do our best to try to control the things that we have control over. and mitigate as much of the risk as we can to maintain as much strength as we can to be able to respond to, navigate, and look for the opportunities in the things that we can't control. And there's a lot of things going on right now that we can't control. So getting a hold of the things that you can control, pretty important.
We have listeners in over 190 countries. Most of those countries have their own currency or participate with neighboring countries in a currency. And currency is sometimes called money. But most currencies have only been around a limited amount of time. You know, if you're listening to the show in the United States, you probably just assume the U.S. dollar is kind of the medium of exchange. That's what you're used to using. But dollars haven't been in existence forever. But gold and silver have. And that brings a whole new ideology to what it means to have money. Our guest today knows a lot about this because he's been in the gold and silver markets for a long, long time. When we come back, you'll meet our good friend Dana Samuelson. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
In uncertain times like this, it's great to know there are two things you can always count on. High demand for affordable single-family homes to live in, and Terry Kerr's amazing Memphis team at Mid-South Home Buyers to find, fix, and manage the next addition to your recession-resistant real estate portfolio. The Memphis market is logistics and distribution dynamo with an economic engine that's essential to moving goods and critical supplies all over the United States. Quality rehab, proven profitable property management, affordable rents, and solid ROI make turnkey property investing through Terry's team a dream when it matters most. To learn more about Memphis and Mid-South home buyers, send an email to MidSouth at realestateguysradio.com. That's MidSouth at realestateguysradio.com.
When the world changes, investing strategy changes too. The coronavirus is disrupting economies, financial systems, and daily life like nothing in modern history. Sheltering in place might protect you from the virus, but a wait-and-see approach to investing now is like pulling the sheets over your head while the house burns down. It's not the time to be complacent. So we're calling our huge network of thought leaders, seasoned investors, and technical experts to find out what they're seeing, thinking, and doing to mitigate risk and capture opportunity, and we're recording all of it. We're calling it our Coronavirus Crisis Investing Webinar, and it's totally free. All you need to do is register. Remember, mainstream media doesn't talk to real estate investors. They don't understand you because Wall Street pays them not to. That's why the Real Estate Guys are here. To register for the Crisis Investing Webinar, simply send an email to crisis at realestateguysradio.com. That's crisis at realestateguysradio.com. Real world wisdom is the best vaccine for a healthy financial future. Send your email to crisis at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Doug Casey, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station and all the time at realestateguysradio.com or your favorite podcast outlet. We're talking today about not real estate, but an alternative investment that comes out of the ground. That is the precious metals. And to help us understand that further, please welcome our good friend, Mr. Dana Samuelson. Hey, Dana, how are you?
I'm great, Robert. It's great to be here with you and Russ. Thanks for having me on the program.
Well, it's always good to hang out with you, my friend. We have had the great pleasure the last few years on the summit of having you expose people literally to gold and silver every night at dinner. When you host a table of folks, you have your little collection of coins. And it's fascinating because when you're looking at something physical and tangible like the coins, you can teach a lot about that. And so we're going to take the tack today that most of the folks listening probably understand that these metals are rare and therefore have value. And before we're done, by the way, Dana has a great resource on understanding gold and silver investing. But I think before we talk about that, let's talk about what the primary precious metals are.
Well, the four precious metals are gold, of course, silver, and then there are sister metals, platinum and palladium, that have a bigger industrial use than a currency use. They're a little bit harder to manipulate. Gold is very malleable, as is silver, so they have been used as money and currency since ancient times. You know, they're scarce in the ground. They're impervious for the most part to the elements, malleable, as I said, can be made into coins easily. And they've been perceived as a good method of using transactions for since ancient times, all the way till the 30s and silver until the 60s. And now we're in the fiat currency world, where it's just paper money.
Yeah, so fiat, meaning it doesn't really have an intrinsic value other than, you know, if you read one of those Federal Reserve notes, it's based on the full faith and credit of the United States. Well, as long as that's good and strong and credible, everything's good. I think what happens is people recognize that value is different when you start to consider the metals. What I mean by that is, if I live in the United States, I'm used to looking at whatever the price of gold is in dollars. But if I live in other countries, I look at the price of gold compared to my currency. And those things aren't always the same. Currencies trade against each other at different rates. Sometimes the Canadian dollar is stronger than the Australian dollar, sometimes the other way around, and so forth. But gold really doesn't change its value. It is the same today as it was 100 years ago.
In terms of purchasing power, yes. It's actually gained value against the printed dollar and other currencies over the last 100 years or so by quite a lot. They're saying that the dollar today is worth about 2 or 3 cents what it was against a dollar back in the 1910s and 20s. So the dollar has lost a lot of purchasing power relative to gold and silver on what it will buy in the real world. And that's why gold's not $20 an ounce like it was for 100 years in the 1850s to the 1930s, or $35 an ounce in dollars like it was from 1935 to 1968, or $45 an ounce in the early 70s. And now it's a free-floating market, and gold's gone from 300 to 500 for most of my 40-year career until the 2005. Now it's well over that, got up to 1900 in dollars, came back down to about 1,200, and now it's pushing 17 and a quarter on the back of this crisis. It's up over $300 an ounce in the last 12 months relative to the dollar.
Well, let's talk about that, because how we tend to see gold and even silver respond is contrarian to other markets. So when the stock market is going up and everything's positive and so forth, then sometimes gold and silver are less in demand, and they talk about the fear trade. When people are worried about where the markets are going, then they find shelter in the metals. But it's not always like that. There's not a correlation that's that direct.
No, but that's the trend line that we follow. Following the financial crisis of 2008, you know, gold and silver moved substantially higher in value. Gold doubled and silver multiplied in price about four times between 2009 and 2011 because of fear, because of money printing, because of real negative interest rates, where the inflation rate is actually higher than the rate of return that you're going to get on a CD or other conservative investment. And we're back to that situation again. Right now, I'm calling it deja vu all over again, and I had an email exchange with Russ about a week ago where I said that, and he said, yes, on steroids this time, and Russ is entirely correct, because the Fed has done in 2 months what it took them 2 years to do between 2009 and 2011. When the economy got better over the last several years, 2017, 18, and 19, physical precious metal sales were as low as we've seen them in 20 years, because the stock market was doing great, the economy is doing well, inflation is not a factor, and now all that has turned on a dime in the last 2 months. Since about the second week of March, things have changed dramatically as the virus has reared its ugly head and ramped up in the United States and the rest of the world out of China.
So I'm glad you mentioned ROI, because this is something you have to think about when you're understanding the metals. And that is, if I buy an ounce of gold, it doesn't really have an ROI. It doesn't earn interest. It doesn't become more than the ounce it is. What it does is it preserves its value at whatever time and place and currency you want to compare it to going forward. So we don't all think of gold and silver as investments as much as we do kind of a hedge against inflation, kind of a way to, you know, keep some money safe. Can you speak to that use of gold and silver?
Well, yes. Gold is a good way to retain purchasing power and have a hedge against financial uncertainty or inflation. Precious metals have always been one of the best stores of value over the long period. They're good investments at certain points in time and not such good investments at other points in time. But as a way to take some of your money and keep it safe, gold and silver have always been fantastic as far as preserving purchasing power, going back to what we said a few minutes ago. And in this environment where we see money printing increasing dramatically and the economy faltering dramatically, this is a time when price appreciation actually in currencies is quite strong. Actually, gold and silver in other currencies, you said you have 190 countries people listen to the show. In most of these other currencies, gold has already hit a record high, and it's been at a record high over the 2011 price for 6-18 months now, depending on which currency you're looking at. The only real currency in the world that gold is not at a new record high over $1,900 an ounce is in dollars, because the dollar has been inordinately strong. But now we're going into a phase where the dollar could be seriously undermined. And I expect gold to challenge that high, probably the $1,900 high, in the coming months. And I think we'll go over 2,000 and a little higher, low 2,000s to mid 2,000s over the next year or two, based on what we did 10 years ago when we went to a similar phase. And I'm being conservative compared to what some other people think. The Bank of America just raised their gold dollar price forecast from $2,000 an ounce to $3,000 an ounce. For this very reason, interest rates are zero, and the real rate of return is actually negative, and gold thrives in a negative rate of return environment, which is where we're back to.
Yeah, it's fascinating to think about Bank of America. Obviously, they don't deal in the metals, and they aren't going to be overly bullish or even overly bearish, I guess, but it doesn't help them to have an anything but conservative estimate, and they did recently make that change. And let's face it, based on what we've seen in the last 2 and 3 months, and the reason we want to have you on the show today, is there's some stress points. We are seeing the pricing go up. We are seeing some of those technical trading marks that people look like when it hits a certain area happen. And we're also seeing a big pack on supply. Let's talk about that, because there's multiple ways of investing in the metals. You know, we talked earlier about counterparty risk, and there's lots of ways to invest in the metals that are beyond just owning an ounce of silver or an ounce of gold. You can invest in funds, you can invest in ETFs, you can invest in mining companies, a lot of different ways to do it. But many of those do have counterparty risk. You're a gold dealer. So what you've been doing for many, many years is helping people acquire specific gold and silver coins, bars, etc., and obviously a little bit of platinum, palladium as well. And really in that category, something I've learned from you, Dana, is that there is some metal that we think of in terms of bullion value. It's kind of all whatever the going spot rate is. And then there's some that is even more rare, some coins that have special value because there just aren't very many of them. Can you kind of talk about those two categories?
Yes. Well, when people think of gold bullion, they think of gold bars, which are square ingots minted privately by primarily Swiss refiners or Canadian refiners going back to the 70s. The sovereign mints around the world, the major sovereign mints, have replaced bars for the most part with round bullion pieces. In the United States, the U.S. Mint has been making 1 ounce gold and silver eagles since 1986. The Canadian Royal Mint has been making 1 ounce gold and silver maple leafs since 1978. The South African Mint was the first sovereign mint to really start making gold bullion coins in 1967. So there's coins out of China now. Australia, Austria makes Philharmonics. I know Russ likes the Philharmonics because of their face value. But these are all basically round bars. And they're available in virtually unlimited supply as long as the mints can produce blanks that are needed to make the coins and the designs that are on them by striking them in a reasonably fast fashion. Now, gold and silver used to be money, real currency. Now the currency is paper and it is fiat, but up until 1933, people had a choice on the street between a $20 gold coin or a $20 paper bill. And there are a lot of older, these classic coins minted pre-1933 that still survive today that are fundamentally many, many, many times scarcer than modern bullion pieces. And they do have collector value that is above and beyond their intrinsic metal value. So I do a fairly large volume of the $10 and $20 gold coins that were minted from the 1870s and 80s to the 1930s. We handle some rare coins as well, coins that have known survival rates of less than 100. And some of those coins can trade from the $10,000 to $20,000, $30,000 range and up per coin. But that's not what most of your people are going to be interested in, of course. I do deal in a lot of bread and butter coins from the latter part of that series in the, like I said, the 1880s to the 1930s, when they stopped making these coins. And what survives today are much more limited than just the original mintages. There have been melts over the years, there's been attrition. There's the older classic coins, and then there are the modern, you know, replaceable coins that the mints are going to continue to make next year and the year after. So that's basically the division there. The modern bullion coins are completely replaceable. They normally have very low premiums over their metal value. There's the blank has to be made, the dies have to be made, they have to be struck, there's shipping involved. So the premiums are normally very low on those, and it's a good way to own physical precious metals without speculating in the collector market, in addition to having a physical precious metal.
Yeah, so I think there's some parallels, right? If I buy a piece of real estate, there's the price that I negotiate with the seller, but then there's going to be commissions, and there's going to be the taxes, and there's going to be the county fees, and maybe some closing agent fees. And so there's other fees that I pay when I buy, and then there's fees that I pay when I sell. It's the same thing with these coins, the intrinsic value. If we were going to say what the spot price today was, and we'll just pick a number since who knows when people are listening, but let's say that today the spot price of gold was $1,700. If I wanted to buy a gold coin, I'd have to pay a premium above that, and that is to pay for the things that you talked about. And if I went to sell the gold coin back to a dealer like yourself, which is part a big part of your business, then there's a discount, but think of it as a premium, a charge in order to make that transaction happen. But those are fairly nominal. An interesting thing has happened in the last few months, and that's based on the strong demand for physical product. We've seen these premiums really change. Speak to that if you would.
Yes, I'd be happy to. So in a normal market, you know, the U.S. Mint will sell a dealer like me gold eagles for about 3 to 3.25% over the spot price. And I in turn sell them for 4 to 5% over the gold price. My bid is normally spot or spot plus 1 to 2%. So that's the difference between the buy price and the sell price in the market. We had an incredible demand surge come through the marketplace starting about March 10th, where demand increased 5, 6, or 7-fold over normal demand at a time when the mints were used to low production rates because demand has been abnormally low for the last 2 or 3 years because the economy has been good and the stock market's been great. So number one, we have a big demand surge. Number two, the Canadian Mint closed for 2 weeks because of the coronavirus. The U.S. Mint closed for a couple of days for the same reason. Swiss refineries closed for a week or two for the same reason. So suddenly, in the middle of a demand surge, we have a supply interruption. And on top of that, we've had logistics issues as well, with plane flights being canceled. So movement of material has been a bit more challenging as well. So premiums rose. For anything that was physical, you know, I've paid 5, 6, and 7% over the intrinsic gold value to buy gold eagles in the last 2 months, and have turned, instead of selling them at 4 or 5% over the gold price, I've had to raise my price to 7, 8, and 9% over the gold price, making the underlying spot price of $1,700 literally almost $1,850 to $1,900 on the street in physical gold value. And silver has been exacerbated even more, because if you have a $1,700 1 ounce gold piece, you know, the equivalent amount of silver is 100 ounces. So there's 100 times effort to make that same 100 ounces. And the mints just can't catch up as fast in silver because of the volume that's required of blanks and striking and logistics. So silver on the street has been not $2 or $3 an ounce over the spot price. It's been $8, $9, $10, $11 an ounce over the spot price over the last couple of weeks, or a little bit longer actually. Now demand is eased and the mints are starting to fill the gap in again, but premiums are still abnormally high. In gold, they're about double what they normally would be instead of triple. And in silver, they're triple instead of quadruple. So they're edging lower now. But if the stock market takes another dive, or the economy shows some more material weakness and there's another buying surge right now, premiums will pop higher again. So it's been a very challenging environment I'm lucky in that I was in this environment in 2009, 10, and 11. So I knew exactly what to do as soon as the situation changed dramatically about March 10th. And we got ahead of the curve and did have done quite well in keeping the supply lines going.
Our guest today is Dana Samuelson from American Gold Exchange. We'll talk more to Dana about where he sees all this going, and we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Real Estate Guys listeners, are you tired of losing real estate deals due to financing issues? Have you had enough of waiting on banks, lenders, and investor groups to fund new projects? What if there were a way to eliminate all the hassle and invest in real estate on your own terms? I'm here to tell you there is. Patrick Donahoe here from Paradigm Life. I'm an Investopedia top 100 most influential financial advisor, and I recently wrote a best-selling book about the financial strategy that changed my entire investment model and the one that could change yours. To get a copy of my book for free and learn how you can maximize your real estate portfolio by acting as your own bank, send an email to mybank@realestateguysradio.com. Don't make another real estate deal without reading my book first. Email mybank@realestateguysradio.com now to get your copy for free.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Lawrence Yun, Chief Economist with National Association of Realtors, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hey, if you've ever wanted to do bigger deals using other people's money, then come on out to The Secrets of Successful Syndication. Happens the last weekend of September in Dallas, Texas, or virtually, depending on where this all goes. Either way, get all the details at our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. We're talking today about how real estate investors can hedge and find safety with precious metals. Before we get back to an interview with Dana Samuelson, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by answering a question that actually has something to do with real estate and gold. As soon as you hear the question and think you know the answer, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. You want to include your name, your guess, and your mailing address. Because if you're the winner, we're going to send you an awesome book called Purpose, Passion, and Profit. It's a collection of very inspiring stories put together by our friend Kyle Wilson. And Dana Samuelson has written a chapter in this book. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, we were talking about agriculture as a real estate investment to consider in these times. And we asked this: Paraguay is one of the only two landlocked South American countries. Which is the other? Well, the other country in South America that doesn't border an ocean is Bolivia. All of the rest of the countries in South America border water. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. We're talking about precious metals. Gold is the state mineral of two different U.S. states. Which ones? Yeah, which two states call gold their official state mineral? If you know or want to take a guess, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Send us your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address. The first person that gets it right gets Purpose, Passion, and Profit. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're so happy you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. We love real estate, but we also consider that real estate as an investment floats in an economic sea that includes lots of other investments, which is why we're taking a look today at the precious metals and investing in gold, silver, and other precious metals. Dana Samuelson's our guest. We've known Dana many years, and we always attend the New Orleans Investment Conference, which is a place you've been going longer than we have, Dana. When I asked Brian London, the promoter of that event, hey, man, I see all these amazing gold and silver dealers. Can I ask you who you use? He says, oh, Dana Samuelson. So that's a pretty high endorsement, I'd say. And we've gotten to know you and really appreciate your no-nonsense approach to the metals. I think that today folks who haven't considered investing in gold and silver before are certainly thinking about it, and that's maybe part of the timely message today. Again, before we're done, you've done a great guide to investing in gold and silver. We'll tell listeners how they can get that for free. Really a good job of explaining what we've talked about today and more. But let's talk about the fact that coming in now, it seems like an interesting time because prices are up. What people are charging is up, not only from the cost of the metal, the intrinsic value, but also the premiums. What advice might you have for someone who is interested in the metals? They've never invested before. Is it, you know, you've said it's going to go higher. Is it buy in a little at a time, put your toe in the water, grab a big hunk? What are you seeing out there?
Well, for new investors, I would try and determine what my overall strategy is and how much I really want to put into this market over, say, the next 6 months. I would definitely get started sooner rather than later. I would try and cost average my purchases over the next 2 or 3 or 4 months, because you never know, we might get a weak period. If we get another stock sell-off, you know, precious metals tend to sell off with stocks as well at first, because there's usually a rush to liquidity. It's not always guaranteed, but we went through a bit of that in March, just like we did in 2009. So cost averaging is a great way to get in and keep your prices low. I also look at the gold and silver relationship in price, which we call the gold to silver ratio. And that's simply you divide the gold price by the silver price to see how many parts of silver it takes to equal one part of gold. Now, historically, that ratio is, you know, 20 to 1 to 40 to 1. In the modern times, it's been 60 to 80 to 1, where if it's 80 to 1 or higher, gold is stronger. If it's 60 to 1 or lower, silver is stronger. And we've seen that ratio move all the way up to as high as 125 to 1 over the last couple of weeks. It's about 113 to 1 right now. And all that means is silver is dirt cheap. And I've gone back to look at the charts from 2008 to 2012 to look at the price of gold and silver and what they did then. And silver lagged gold at first in that phase. And when it played catch up, it did so with a vengeance. And silver is definitely lagging gold right now. Because if you want to have true portable wealth, that's what gold is really for. You can carry $150,000 to $200,000 worth of gold within your hands. It's about the size of a paperback novel, 100 ounces. In Equitable silver value, you'll need a wheelbarrow or a forklift for the same amount. So gold is portable wealth, and that's why it's catching the what I call the fear bid. And that's why its price is up significantly in the last year as economic conditions have weakened and materially in the last couple of months. Silver is more spending money for on the street if there's a real problem with the currency, because it's a much smaller denomination in relative dollar terms. So I think silver is definitely undervalued. I would advise listeners to think about allocating 40% of their funds to gold and maybe 60% to silver right now, just because the ratio is skewed out of balance. Russ may think a little differently, but gold is definitely leading and silver is lagging. So I like cost averaging. I like allocating a little bit of different amounts depending upon which one's stronger or weaker relative. And right now, silver is definitely weaker.
You know, one of the things that people need to understand about the metals is that they are very, very liquid. And we talked earlier about no counterparty risk. If I'm holding a 1 ounce gold coin in my hand, there is no other counterparty. And what some people are able to do is to decide to buy and sell. And as a dealer, you do both those things. If someone comes to you and says, I want to buy 5 gold coins, and they buy them, and then 3 months later, they say, Dan, I want to sell them back to you, you do that as well.
Oh, yes. Gold and silver are two of the most liquid items there are in the world. It's a cash and carry business, basically, whether you're buying or selling. We've had people that have wanted to buy gold because they're concerned about protecting their wealth in the last couple of months. And then we have other people who are we're starting to see some distressed sellers because of the economy. People that have had gold for years are shedding some right now. And our actual buying over the counter has started to increase because the price is up. But I think it's going to go higher still. So we do both. We make a very competitive buy-sell market. And we try and treat everyone just as fairly as we can. With transparent pricing and fast checks, which are imperative.
Well, that's another thing people have to be comfortable with, right? Is the fact that you can walk into a coin shop and buy a coin. That's one way to do it. But when you find a dealer you really like, you have to build a level of trust. People are either wiring money or using a credit card, which of course comes with a higher processing fee. Not everybody is going to feel comfortable walking into a coin store. How do they know if it's the metals are real? All those kinds of things. And you obviously built a long reputation in your area of expertise. And I think that's a big part of today's surety and certainty when people are uncertain about things. So it's it takes some education to get your mind around. You know, you talked about intrinsic value versus collectible value, and those are things you want to understand as well. And I think the other part of it is just seeing how the metals might fit in with a portfolio. We have real estate investors who are listening, obviously, and they primarily focus on real estate, as do we. But we certainly got interested in the metals when we started to see the fact that they operate as a hedge against what you've already earned, meaning that if I can put some profit into the metals, that's different than putting money into cash. It's pretty clear that the long-term trend for the US dollar and every single other currency is down, whereas the long-term trend for the metals compared to those currencies is up.
Yes, that's correct. Any good financial advisor would tell you you should have a small portion of your assets in precious metals. You know, we recommend anywhere from 5 to 10 or 15%. Some people, you know, get gold fever, as I call it, and go higher. But if you look at studies that have been done over the years, you'll see that the sweet spot for a portfolio allocation in precious metals is anywhere from about 6 to 10%. If your other investments are doing great, gold and silver tend to be countercyclical, and they may not be doing so good. So if you are over-allocated in metals, you'll underperform where the traditional assets are, stocks, bonds, perhaps real estate as well. But if you have about 6 to 8 to 10% in precious metals, you'll have enough to have an insurance component to your portfolio. So if other things start to go down, gold and silver will help to counterbalance that. They offset risk in other markets. And the sweet spot's about 8%.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you're bullish on gold right now. And again, you're a dealer, so you make money whether gold goes up or down, whether silver goes up and down. I think one of the things people maybe misunderstand is they see these high premiums and they think that dealers are gouging. That's not what's happening. Your margin essentially is the same. So you're okay if people are sellers or buyers. And I just want to bring that up because when someone in your position says, I think it's going higher, you've kind of earned the right to have that position. We had Jim Rickards on our show when he released his book, The New Case for Gold, and he was talking about gold at $10,000 an ounce and higher. You know, we mentioned Bank of America at $3,000. We certainly have seen people saying it's going to $5,000 and $6,000. I don't think that's the reason to buy it, but we hear more people believing it will be higher in the future than believing it will be lower.
Well, what we have more than anything now, and Russ said it at the top of the program, was debt. You know, at the top of the financial crisis in 2008, we had about $99 trillion in global debt, and that's gone over $200 trillion in global debt now. And with so much printed paper money out there and so much, and debt levels so high, you know, more and more mainstream investors, hedge fund gurus like Ray Dalio have been advocating gold as a component that will help protect people in this kind of a debt-laden environment. It's almost that we're into a modern monetary theory, printed paper money world today. And we've never been in this kind of a situation before, absent World War II, when debt levels were this high relative to GDP. And in this environment, you know, something breaks, and then we start to get cascading defaults like we did for a while in 2009. know, that's when gold really will take off. So who knows what's going to happen, but with so much debt in the world and debt that will never be paid back, it has to be devalued for these levels of debt to be paid back, if ever. That's a recipe that's good for gold and good for silver.
All right, good stuff. Well, Dana, we know that if everything happens like it's supposed to, we're going to see you a lot this year. We'll see you at the Investor Summit. We'll see you at the New Orleans Investment Conference. But let's face it, it's a new world. Every other time we've had you on the show, we've been face-to-face, and here we are using technology because things have changed. How has that part of it affected your business?
Well, we have a physical presence in Austin, Texas. We have a private office where we see people by appointment only, and we've had to protect ourselves and our customers in this environment. And it's hindered our physical business a little bit locally. But absent that, you know, we use the delivery services and they haven't been interrupted. So FedEx, UPS, the US Post Office. So we're minimally interrupted overall. And we've been pretty lucky as far as most businesses go for what our business truly is. So we count our blessings, and we just want everybody to be safe in this crazy world that we're in these days.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate your time and sharing with us today, as always. Hey, folks, if you have not invested before in the metals and you'd like to learn more, just send an email to preciousmetals@realestateguysradio.com, preciousmetals@realestateguysradio.com, and you'll get Dana's report. It's a really great primer on understanding what we've talked about and a lot more today. Dana, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you, Russ, for having me. It's always an honor to be on your show and to see you, and I like to see you in person, but it's almost as good on Zoom here today, so thank you very much, and appreciated it.
There's Dana Samuelson from American Gold Exchange. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry, even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Hungry for more real estate investing ideas? Here's two steps you can take today. First, go to realestateguysradio.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get access to a continuous feed of thought-provoking commentary specifically for real estate investors, while also focusing on broader picture economics. Then, once you're at our site, look for the Resources tab, where you'll find our amazing collection of special reports. Browse dozens of white papers, webinars, and market reports, and request the ones that appeal to you. What are you waiting for? Head to realestateguysradio.com to implement education for effective action.
Hi, this is Chris Martinson, author of Prosper, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. Hey, if you're just sitting around at home with all this extra time on your hand, we got a whole bunch of great resources on our website, special reports, videos, classes even. Just go to realestateguysradio.com under the button that says Resources. Our resource center is chock full of stuff that you can get educated on. And oh my gosh, always great to hear from Dana Samuelson.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be paying attention to gold. You know, we started looking at gold a long time ago just because it's kind of a proxy for the dollar. And if you really want to understand where the dollar is going, you watch gold. Gold ends up behaving a lot like a safe haven asset. So when people get freaked out, they typically go into three places. They go into cash, they go into bonds, which is really an alternative form of cash for people that have huge amounts of cash, and they go into gold. They go into precious metals. You know, one of the things that Dana mentioned is that gold right now is at all-time highs in currencies other currencies besides the dollar. If you flip that around and understand what he's saying, it means that all other currencies are at all-time lows against gold. What that means is currencies have lost relative purchasing power against gold. Yet the dollar hasn't. The dollar has actually been a little bit strong because the dollar's been the beneficiary of people who are afraid. So think about this for a minute. Gold has gone up in dollar terms in spite of the fact that people have been piling into the dollar to find safety. At whatever point, if people begin to lose faith in the dollar, or if someone were to come along and say, hey, we have an alternative to the dollar. Here's an interesting news report in Reuters, April 28th. Shanghai gold boss wants super sovereign currency for post-crisis times. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, Shanghai is obviously in China. The Shanghai Gold Exchange was established by China as an alternative to the London bullion markets. Most of world finance has its roots in either London, where it was before the dollar became the world reserve currency, or in New York, where most people understand that's the financial capital of the world through the U.S. banking system. The U.S. has a stranglehold on the entire world through the dollar and the dollar-based system. So the Chinese, as we've been chronicling in our Real Asset Investing report, and we've been talking about in our Future of Money and Wealth series for quite some time, have been upset about that. And they're not the only ones. Russia divested itself of virtually all of its treasuries and piled up into gold. But listen to this. This is April 28th, so just not too long ago. The president of the Shanghai Gold Exchange called for a new super sovereign currency to offset the global dominance of the U.S. dollar, which he predicted would decline long term while gold prices rally. So this is once again China coming forward and saying, hey, we think that there needs to be an alternative to the dollar system. It's one of the things that I think American investors really need to pay attention to, and it's one of the reasons we pay attention to gold. But it's not the only reason. The other reason is that gold is a hedge against the currency falling. So to put it in your portfolio means I'm not trying to get rich on gold. I'm trying to protect my wealth by putting it in something that's going to act more like money and less like currency.
You know, Russ, let's just give a quick example there. Imagine that 50 years ago, you had a $100 bill. You could decide to just keep that $100 bill in your sock drawer, and today it would be a $100 bill. It would be redeemable, even though it was the old-fashioned $100 bill, and it wouldn't be worth very much in terms of its purchasing power. Instead, had you taken that $100 bill and bought a few ounces of gold, today those ounces of gold would still be in existence and still be in your sock drawer, but they'd be worth a heck of a lot more dollars. Now, could you have taken that $100 bill and kept $50 in cash and spent $50 on gold coins? Of course. So today, as an investor, you need to just be thinking about the allocation Dana talked about. Does it make any sense in your portfolio to allocate something to another hard asset?
Well, here's really the next step. And this is where I feel like I'm bilingual. I feel like I speak real estate and I speak gold. And there is a way to make money on gold, but you have to marry it to real estate. Actually, you have to marry it to debt. Because debt allows you to short the dollar. If you can borrow dollars today and purchase things today and then pay them back 10, 20, 30 years from now, which is what a mortgage lets you do, if the dollar is falling in value, you're paying that debt back when it's worth less. So debt is a way to short the dollar. We do it all the time in real estate. The thing about debt is you have to service it. So real estate is great because when you use the debt to acquire real estate, income producing real estate, you're acquiring the income stream you need to service the debt. Okay, so now I'm short the dollar. I have an asset that goes up in price in dollar terms, nominal terms over time, and the income goes up over time as wages go up because of inflation. And we've seen that, right? $100,000 a year salary today is not what $100,000 a year was in 1950, right? In 1950, you were considered very elite, very wealthy if you made $100,000. Today, middle class in a lot of areas, all right? But when you marry it to gold and you convert your equity into gold, now what happens is, let's say you took 100 ounces of gold, which would be worth about $170,000 today. And let's say Jim Rickards is right, and gold goes from, say, just round numbers, $2,000 an ounce today to, say, $5,000 an ounce, or even $4,000 an ounce. Now, half your gold would pay off all of your debt. Does that make sense? It's the same concept if you were to buy a house and buy the house next door, use two interest-only loans, never pay down one penny of principal, and the house doubles in value in 10 years. Both houses double in value in 10 years. You sell one house and pay off the other, and now you own that house free and clear, and you never had to pay down the debt one penny. That's how you short the dollar. Gold lets you do that, but you don't have the burden of the payment. And then there's a whole different strategy where you borrow equity out of a property and you use notes to create the cash flows. And I won't get into all that right now. We cover that in the future of money and wealth. But the point is that if you understand how to use precious metals in your portfolio to both magnify your wealth, to protect your wealth, to isolate yourself from the counterparty risk that's rife in the banking system right now, and to hedge yourself against the long-term decline of currencies, all currencies, and to have a highly liquid asset that you can pivot into any currency. If I have equity in a property, the problem is I have to qualify for the loan and somebody has to approve me to be able to get access to the cash. The only way I can liquidate the real estate is to sell it. But if I have gold, I can borrow against it and I don't have to qualify because the collateral is fantastic. And that way I can keep all the upside of the gold, if you will, and still have liquidity by being able to borrow against it relatively inexpensively. So gold is a very versatile tool in an investor's toolbox and plays a very important role in your portfolio. We don't have time to get into all the nuances of that right now, but if this is your first foray into taking a look at precious metals, order Dana's report, Precious Metals, at realestateguysradio.com. Get your mind around it and keep listening and keep learning and start watching it, start paying attention, because the timing has never been more important for real estate investors, all investors, to understand precious metals.
So if you'd like to know more, just send an email to preciousmetals@realestateguysradio.com. We hope you've enjoyed these alternative investing shows. A lot to think about as an investor today. The biggest message is education is critical. And I can think of no better education to get started on this path than Dana Samuelson's great report. So Precious Metals at realestateguysradio.com. So that wraps up our three-week series on other asset classes. Next week, another great show for you. Until then, go out or stay home and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life. Powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.